This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Horns Over Hoops podcast. We have a special episode today. We're starting a new segment called Fans of the Game. I got Brad Mandarino with me.
Yes, sir.
So, how's it going, Brad?
Good, man. Happy to be here, bro. You seem pretty fucking nervous.
Tell me about yourself.
Dude, what you know who I am, bro. Yeah.
So, me and Berman, we go way back, man.
I've known Berman probably for, 20 years now?
Something like that.
He always thought he was good at sports, but unfortunately, he's not very good.
Nah, I was terrible at everything. Just saw my jump shot. That was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, when I first moved to the same area that Scott lived in, I probably met everyone in the neighborhood from just playing basketball at this park called Lewis Park, and that was the go-to spot for us growing up, and I would say that was the main way that most people in the neighborhood can hung out and communicated with each other.
That was pretty much all I ever wanted to do was play basketball.
Growing up, I grew up in Skokie, moved up to Lindenhurst, which is where Scott lived at the time, and a bunch of our other friends were kind of in the same neighborhood, and went outside, played. Main thing we usually did at Lewis Park was play basketball. I've played basketball, loved basketball my whole life. Like I said, Berman likes basketball, but he's just not very good.
No, I was terrible. I had the Noah shot when I first started.
He had no shot.
Yeah, that's true.
When I started trying to figure out how to do the hook shot, could not do that. Tried to do the Boozer turnaround.
Boozer, my guy, dude.
Duke. Tried to do that. Did not work. I was terrible at basketball. Yeah. I can get rebounds, play some defense. It's about it.
Yeah, you're tall.
Yeah.
You're very tall. Scott is about 6'4"?
Something like that, yeah.
I'm maybe 6 foot on a good day. I easily out-rebounded him. No problem.
I don't know about that. I was skinny, so I got bodied a lot.
Scott and I and a bunch of our other friends, we played a lot of sports growing up, and basketball was just, I would say, the main one.
What made you start watching basketball? Was it you playing?
Just thinking back, when I lived in like the Chicago area, it was just like the main thing to do was play basketball. I probably started playing basketball when I was in like third or fourth grade. It was called Skokie Youth, and it was just my parents forcing me to get into a sport, and I didn't really care about it at first. I don't know, I just fell in love with playing. It was just something for me to do when I was a kid, and then everyone else was playing basketball, so then that's how I made friends and how I met other people, and I just started playing in junior high, and that's probably when I started watching basketball, I would say. The first team I ever started watching was Duke, so I was more of a college guy when I was younger. I didn't really care about Jordan being in Chicago, to be honest. I was maybe a little too young to really watch him play, and it was more so just people talking about him. So I didn't get into the NBA like a lot of Chicago people did because of Jordan. I more got into the NBA because I liked watching college basketball. Playing basketball, you have more of like a different kind of like mind when you're watching the sport, where like you're trying to pick up on things that you could be better at. And in the NBA, unless you're really, really, really fucking good, it's hard to really watch and be like, all right, this is what I need to do, because they're doing things at the highest possible level. And like when you're younger, you can't do that. So watching college basketball was my way of like just getting better at basketball.
Was there a certain player on Duke that made you want to watch them?
JJ Redick.
For sure, bro.
JJ was my guy, dude. I was never really a shooter. I was more of like a run around really fast, play D. I could shoot, but nothing like crazy. And I don't know, just watching JJ, he was so good, dude. I just thought he was really good, and I appreciated his skill level with shooting the ball, and he played super hard. That's always Duke's mentality, is just to play hard and play defense. So I don't know. It was more just Duke overall, but JJ was the guy, bro.
That got you in there?
Boozer, too, was sick, dude. I liked Boozer. Boozer was really nice. Those younger teams were really fun to watch.
Makes sense. They were a great team. Those JJ Redick teams were crazy.
I'm looking at your Illinois shirt, dude, with fucking like Luther Head and Darren Williams, bro. They were sick, too. That was actually the first college game I went to in person was a Big Ten tournament, watching that team, and it was sick.
That team was ridiculous. Yeah, Darren Williams was so good.
Ridiculous. Luther Head, and then there was someone else that was sick.
Augustine was on that team.
That's not what I'm thinking of.
Darren Williams, Luther Head. Forgot the other guys.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. There's someone else, right?
Yeah, there was a guy that used to just hit threes like crazy.
Sick burner. Someone that's listening to this definitely knows who we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that team was super good. I think they only lost one game that year, and it was to Ohio State at the end of the season.
I remember that.
And then they lost to UNC in the finals because that bum Sean May just dominated everybody. Yeah. He was getting rebounds over everybody.
I think was Marvin Williams on that team? The only reason I'm thinking of Marvin Williams is I got to meet him when I worked at the Journeyman. And he was super cool. We, like, talked for... He stayed at our hotel for, like, a week straight. And we, like, talked every day about fucking Duke and North Carolina.
I was like, dude, I hated watching you, bro. But he was actually super cool, man.
But, yeah, fuck North Carolina.
So, what is... You were super into college. What was that college game that, like, set it for you? Like, this Duke...
It's too hard to name like a specific game. When you say that though, just watching like the national championships that they won, I'm a very dedicated fan to try to watch like every game, so it's really hard to just think of one that I'm like, oh yeah, here's why I like Duke so much, especially when I was younger. I don't know, dude, they were just always on TV. Duke was always on TV. So that was how I was able to watch them and be interested. It was like the same thing. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. And like everyone's like, why the fuck would you like the Dolphins? Marino was like huge when we were younger.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just, he was always getting talked about. And it was just because they seemed to always be on TV. So that's how I like originally started watching them. But there's no real reason. Is there ever really a reason?
I don't know. It's maybe you like the atmosphere more. Like those,
for sure.
Those UNC Duke games, those were always insane,
dude. I just saw a rating on best like college fans.
Yeah.
Duke was number one. I mean, the crazies, bro. They go fucking wild, dude.
They're absolutely insane. It's just such a different atmosphere there.
Yeah.
And you just don't see that in the NBA. Right. So, makes sense why you went there.
You kind of do. I mean, you definitely see them in the NBA during the playoffs.
Yeah.
But that's with any sport, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard to stay super focused on, like, one game when there's 82 games in a season.
Yeah, and what, there's only, like,
30. That brings up a good point we were talking about earlier. This crazy new in-season tournament that... I just saw a viral clip of, who was it? Bones Highland.
Yeah.
A reporter asked him, he's like, so what do you think about the in-season tournament? And he goes, honestly, bro, I don't know anything about it. I have no idea. I don't know what's going on. And that's coming from an NBA player. So as a fan, I don't know anything about it. I really don't. I know there's groups. I have no idea how many games these groups play. I have no idea how long it lasts. I have no idea how you win the trophy. I don't know anything about it.
They kind of just put out one video, the one by Richard Jefferson, kind of explaining it, but that was about it.
I didn't even watch that, so I don't even know.
pretty much what I got out of it is you're in a group with four other teams.
Yeah.
You play head-to-head through November, and I think whoever wins the group stage out of those teams, like whoever has the best record against each other, goes to the second round. Then one wild card team from the East and one wild card team from the West will go, and that's based on point differential. So
how many groups are there?
There's six groups, so three in each.
They're only playing these teams right now? The regular season is going as like it's normally scheduled.
Yeah.
But are they only scheduled to play these teams in the group?
So it's just regular season games is the group stage. It's weird. So you said JJ was your guy in college. Did you just kind of follow him around when he got to the NBA? Like, you just tried to watch as many Reddit games as possible?
I mean, any Duke player, dude, I like to see what they're doing in the NBA. I was definitely a fan of Redick when he went to the NBA because a lot of people didn't even think he was going to be that good. And he ends up being one of the best shooters.
He was the best role player in the league.
And his podcast, dude, is sick as fuck, honestly. He has a really good NBA podcast. He gets a lot of, like, players, former players, and they go in-depth. If you're an NBA fan, I mean, I'm sure you listen to that podcast, but following Duke players in the NBA is just a way to brag about being a Duke fan, honestly. And I like to see what they're doing. It's always fun to, like, just pay attention to what they're doing in the NBA.
Is there any other player that, like, didn't come from Duke that you just loved when they came in? Like, they were just your guy. It wasn't on, like, your favorite team, which...
I'd say Jason Williams was a beast, dude.
White chocolate?
Yeah, white chocolate, man. I mean... If you play basketball and you're white, you liked Jason Williams. Just the way he played the game wasn't like a lot of the other white players back then. He could handle the rock, dude. It was ridiculous.
He's making those crazy passes.
Crazy off the fucking elbow behind his back. Dude, that Kings team was actually really sick. I enjoyed watching that team when I was younger. It was like Weber, Williams, Bibby, Bobby Jackson, Pedro Stojakovic, Hito Turkoglu.
Hito.
Dude, that team was sick. And they lost to the fucking... I remember they lost to the Lakers in the finals. And I don't remember... I think, like, Ori, like, hit some crazy three. Something controversial happened. Yeah, that team was sick. And then Jason Williams. I mean, dude, there's so many good players in the NBA, man. The amount of skill is crazy now compared to what it used to be.
Oh, absolutely.
It's crazy, dude. I mean, it's so hard to compare eras because the game evolves and is different. But if you're talking about just pure basketball skill and the way the game has evolved and the size of players that can dribble the ball and shoot the ball. I mean, there's no traditional really post up anymore, but that doesn't mean these players can't post up.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like you're watching Jokic, and I mean, he's literally unstoppable and beat all these big guys, but they have the skill to do all this outside maneuvers, shooting the ball, dribbling the ball, passing the ball. I mean, it's just the way that NBA is now, and it makes it harder to watch, I think, for people that don't understand how good these guys are. Big thing that people say about the NBA is, like, there's no defense. You know, trying to guard the best fucking players in the world, I mean, it's impossible. And the rules are geared towards more scoring.
Oh, absolutely. Compared to the 90s?
It's entertaining. Yeah, dude, compared to the 90s? It's not even close, dude. Yeah. I mean, that was just bully ball, and that was cool. I mean, I didn't really watch it. I don't really remember watching it, honestly.
No, but just seeing highlights, it's like they're just taking people out. You can't do that nowadays. That's a foul. But again, good luck guarding, like, any of these point guards. They're going to get right past you.
Yeah.
You can't stop that.
Yeah, and then the Kevin Durant's, the fucking Wembanyama's. The other night he dropped 38, bro. 38. He's a rookie. His hype is beyond anything we've seen since LeBron James.
Oh, absolutely.
But he's dropping 38 points as a 19-year-old against Kevin Durant and the Suns, Devin Booker. He's crazy. But that type of player is a very unique player because of how the game has evolved. It created a player like that.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, he's so skinny, but
you don't need to be big to be great in the NBA. As long as you have this crazy skill set, which all these players
absolutely.
Do now. I mean, it's really cool to watch, honestly, if you appreciate it for what it is. The NBA is, to me, is getting better. I think it was in this weird place where people are just like, just don't appreciate the NBA for what it is. I feel like a lot of people talk shit about the NBA as a sport, to be honest. But I think they're doing a good job of, like, I think this in-season tournament is actually smart. It makes things matter more during the season.
Yeah, so teams can try.
Yeah, they're promoting it in a good way to where, like, they're talking about it all the time. The problem is, like, it's new.
Yeah, no
one
knows.
No one knows about it. Like, these courts. Did you see the new, like, in-season courts?
Yeah, I watched the Bulls were playing it yesterday. It's just straight red. It was just so bright.
It's a little too much.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It's a little, but it's, like, something different. I mean, it gets, like, it's an entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I mean, we're watching these people because we enjoy it. I mean, it's part of, like, just the business. And I think the NBA itself is doing a good job of staying on pace with how just the entertainment industry is, like, moving forward, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. The NBA has a great marketing department. Everything about it is great. It's something that I wish baseball had, because they are the worst marketing I've ever seen. Like,
yeah.
People know who Shohei Ohtani is. They don't know who Mike Trout is, who is quite possibly one of the best generational talent players we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
People don't know who he is.
Yeah, baseball's tough. I mean, there's so many games in baseball, right?
Like, yeah, 162.
It's insane. But, I mean, you do still have to stay relevant and, you know, you have to have people interested. To be honest, dude, I watch baseball because I gamble on it. Otherwise, I don't really care. But, like, the World Series usually, I mean, Super Bowl, crazy. Everyone's talking about the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. I mean, NBA playoffs feel like a lot of people get into it, especially when it's the championship. I felt like there wasn't that much interest in the World Series.
No.
I mean, it was two random teams, but still, like, I just didn't really see much about it anywhere. I didn't really, you know, I didn't care about it that much personally, but
I think I watched maybe one game, maybe one full game combining them. They're not good at marketing. It's just, I did not care. That could be because the White Sox just depressed me so much. Yeah.
Who knows? That's true. I mean, you're watching full Bulls games though, right?
Yeah, and they're depressing me also. Man, they're something else. It's...
Yeah, you told me yesterday. This is what Berman said. He goes, bet on the Bulls.
Hey.
Wait. He goes, bet on the Bulls. Sends a screenshot of 2 days ago injury report. I'm like, dude, well, this is from the other day. And he goes, Claxton's out. Vucevic is about to dominate the Nets. I checked the scoreboard at, like, half. Vucevic had, like, 0 points and 6 rebounds, and the Bulls were losing. I'm like, bro, what kind of advice is this?
Hey, they did cover. Just saying, they covered the spread.
Okay.
No, the yeah.
Did they, though?
They actually did. They did cover. The spread was 3.5, and they lost by 2.
They were favorites, bro.
No,
favorites.
They were not.
I don't know. I think they were.
But, yeah, I definitely thought the Bulls were going to win that game. And they continue to just surprise me of how inefficient they are on defense. How they just try to shoot threes and they cannot hit anything.
So you're watching, like, the full game, fully in tune to what's going on, right?
Yeah, and I'm actually taking notes during the games things. And I'm following up, watching the, like, post-game interviews afterwards and watching the post-game of seeing what the people on NBC Sportsnet say. Definitely watching more basketball this year, but that's because of the podcast.
Yeah, that's good, though. I mean, I'm not doing anything near what you're doing as far as, like, getting locked in like that. But, I mean, I'm a degenerate gambler, so I bet on sports and... when I have a bet on a team, I'm usually watching it because FanDuel gave out a free little promo for NBA League Pass. FanDuel, if you're listening, we'll take that sponsorship. So, watching the NBA for me is like a leisure thing. Like, you're pretty locked into the Bulls this year, which is, like, pretty cool to see. It's different because I'm not really talking to anyone that's, like, super locked in, like, a team like that. So you should have, you know, good ideas on, like, how the team's playing. But, like, from just a random perspective, I'm not a huge Bulls fan. But watching them play, dude, I just don't know what they're trying to do as far as game plan with their players, dude. I mean, having DeMar, LaVine, Vucevic, who's honestly really good and can score and be like a...
They don't give him the ball.
A main guy. There's too many number ones on the Bulls for them, I think, to be successful. I mean, you look at all the other teams that are really, like, in contention to, like, win a championship. It's usually a number one or a number 1A and a number 1B. At first, I really thought the Bulls had that with LaVine and DeMar. But, dude, to me, they're both, like, number twos.
No.
I hate to say it, but no, that's just how I see it.
I absolutely agree. Losing Lonzo, because I feel like
he was a good gel.
Told people where to go. Yeah. If you're watching them now, they just stand around when they don't have the ball.
Yeah.
And no one's being that floor general to tell them to move around. All right. So you said you're betting on the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things are you, like, you looking for to pick a bet? Or is it just kind of, hey, I think this guy is just going to go off tonight? Or do you pick just general, they're going to win, this team's going to win?
So I tend to do more, like, player prop bets. A lot of what I like to do is just, like, alternate lines on player points. That's usually where I'm looking. And I look at past games. I usually know. This is the beginning of the year, so I don't know 100% of the players. But I would say I know every player, especially, you know, if they've been in the league for a while. So, you know, what to expect from the stars and the really good players. And when you get an alternate line, you
shaving off a couple points on what they're projected to hit, but then the odds aren't as good. With FanDuel, I've talked about them already. It's probably the main book that I use, and they give out these boosts to where you get a bigger...
like better odds?
Better odds, a higher payout, basically. So I'm able to use these alternate lines and get them to just as good odds as to their normal lines that are coming out on these sports books. And I try to parlay, which means, like, put a couple of those bets together into one bet. So say you're looking at LaVine to score 20 plus points when his betting line was at probably 24.5. So I look at bets that are a little less risky, but then I tend to bet a little more on those bets. So, you know, I'm making a bet for, let's say, $100 or $200 to win a couple $100 rather than putting a bet out there for, you know, $10 to win. People like to make these crazy parlays, which I sometimes do, to win, you know, let's say $1,000 off a $10 bet.
You're not going to win that. That's it's just tough, too reckless.
It's so tough. I mean, sports betting in general is extremely tough. It's very hard to win long term. I go on streaks where I have really good weeks, and then I'll lose $1,000 or something. Like, yeah. it just happens. My biggest thing on betting is just do it because you enjoy it. I mean, I like to bet on teams I'm going to watch that might be on TV and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to put in a bet for that game. Well, I feel like there was a second part to your question that I'm missing, but maybe not.
No, it was just kind of, what are you looking for? So, like, yeah. You said, you're just looking for the star players. You say, hey, they're going to get this. I'm obviously going to give them a lower thing so it hits. Yeah.
Or now that we got back to this, I'm thinking sometimes you're looking at, like, storylines, right?
Yeah.
Like the other day, Donovan Mitchell was questionable all day up until shoot around, still questionable at shoot around, and they were missing like three other starters. Who was out? Garland was out, Claxton was out. I did all unders, Mitchell under points, Mitchell under threes. All of his lines were inflated because
everybody was out.
Yeah, and he ended up still playing. They said he was going to play during shoot around, like 10 minutes into shoot around, he was still questionable. All his numbers were inflated, but they were missing so many guys. I'm like, I'm taking all this guy's unders, and hopefully they get blown out and he gets taken out early. And it was $200 to win like $1,300, and that's almost exactly what happened. There was another boost I saw on DraftKings for him to make 1-3. It was at minus 8,000, which is insane odds. He's definitely making 1-3.
Absolutely.
But
DraftKings boosted it to plus 100, and you bet $25, so you're basically winning a free $25. It's just like a promo. He didn't hit 1-3 that game. He was just off. He still seemed hurt. He had like a hamstring, a sore hamstring. They were playing a back-to-back as well. So just realizing NBA coaches are very strict on stars, and they do the NBA, there's a lot of games. They're not gonna, if there's a blowout, they're not keeping their star players there.
Yeah.
So I like to look at unders for like crazy high numbers and just certain situations that I think merit like making a bet like that. But I don't do that very often. It's just kind of like a, if I sense something and I hear, you know, some weird storyline to follow, then I'll go with that.
Okay. Yeah, so there's kind of the third Bulls game we were all talking
about.
How
many games
have they played next?
Damn, really?
Yeah, so they're 2-4 right now, but...
Oh, my God, second, they suck, dude.
Yeah, so the second Bulls game, LaVine was just dog shit, and he was just missing everything, and he looked hurt. Like, his back was tight, and he was questionable.
Did he go off the next game?
Yeah, he set a record high, or a season high of 51, but it was like everybody in the media, Chicago media, was talking about, like, he needs to sit out, he's hurt, like...
Yeah.
And I think he just took it as, I need to just... shut everybody up.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a good way to look at a scenario from a betting perspective. If you think, you know, player's gonna
shut everyone up, which it kind of seemed like that was his mindset. If you're paying super close attention to those things, which I mean you are. So when you told me the other day to bet on Vucevic and take the Bulls, I was like, maybe I should. I didn't do it.
Hey, you would have hit.
But I was following it. He did end up with like 15 and 13 or something crazy, I think. So you were kind of right. But I'm almost positive that they were favorites that game. So
yeah, we'll have to look that
up. I mean, dude, they were playing the Nets. The Nets aren't great.
So I want to shift back to college. Duke, what are they number one right now? Or are they?
No, they're two.
Two? Okay.
Yeah.
Who is the guy at Duke this year?
Filipowski is probably going to get the most recognition, I would say. I'm pretty sure he's preseason AP All-American. Roach is still there. They have an insane, insane class coming in. Jared McCain, dude, he's going to be super good. I would say Filipowski, though, is the guy to fucking watch. He's like a 6'10". Kind of a small forward, power forward type of player. I mean, he has some decent post moves. He could definitely hit the three. He's aggressive enough to potentially win player of the year, honestly. I really think he could. Depends how well Duke does, but I think he's the guy to be looking for sure.
Is he kind of like a Tatum type player?
No, I wouldn't compare him to Tatum. He's more of like a... If you compare him to like someone in the NBA, maybe like a Lauri Markkanen.
Okay.
Where he's bigger, but he can move pretty well for being big. Tatum's a stud. Tatum is crazy.
He might win MVP this year, what he's been playing.
Dude, the Celtics are nice, bro. They got nice pieces. Drew, dude. I know we talked about that. I think Lillard still going to the Bucks is gonna pay dividends for them. I think they're just figuring out how to play, but losing a player like Drew Holiday, I mean, if you know basketball, we were talking about earlier, defense isn't as crazy in the NBA, but Drew is one of, if not the best defenders in the league. Porzingis, dude, they added already with Tatum and Brown, and they got rid of Smart, they got rid of Grant Williams, who's actually pretty well.
He absolutely destroyed the Bulls.
Dude, he's been hitting threes, dude. Yeah. He's getting a lot of minutes. I like Grant Williams. He played for Boston College, I'm pretty sure, or Wake Forest. He played in the ACC.
Okay.
So every time Duke played him, dude, he was the best player for sure. You could tell in college. That's one thing, too, when I really watch every single Duke game. I watch college basketball during March Madness, but I'm not, like, super into watching other college basketball teams. But I definitely, like, how you're watching the Bulls, that's how I'm watching Duke. So when you do that, you see other players from other teams that, I mean, when you're watching NBA, you know pretty much everyone. But when you're watching college, you're getting to see these NBA players for the first time, and you can really tell
when like a player in college is going to play in that. They dominate. And you can just tell how much better like they are than most of their peers. And Grant Williams is definitely that guy in college. Dude. He's a beast.
So Duke's win the national championship this year?
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. 100%. The odds are pretty terrible. I think they're like, I mean, they're ranked number two. I'm pretty sure they're the second lowest favorite. So I wouldn't bet on them to win the national championship because I don't think the value's there yet. We'll see how it plays out this year. But last year, dude, they had some injuries. Tariq Whitehead, he was like the number one player in the class. And he was out like early, and then he started to come back, and Duke wasn't really thought to be that good. So I got like some pretty crazy odds for them to win the national championship. And they had a shot.
Yeah, they went further than I thought.
But they lost to fucking Tennessee, dude. That shit hurt, bro. That hurt. That was rough. Yeah, I pick them every year, dude. If I'm filling out a bracket. First time, though, I didn't fill out a single bracket last year. I don't know why. I just didn't. First time probably in I don't know how many years, but when I'm filling out a bracket, I'm picking Duke every single time, no matter what.
All right.
Who do you got?
To win it?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea. I think Kansas is number one. They're not going to win it. Just Kansas doesn't win. They just don't win the national championship. It's going to be some random team that's not ranked right
Michigan
now.
Michigan State's nice. They got
Illinois is number 25, but they're not going to make it.
25?
Yeah, they're ranked number 25.
Yeah, I don't know too much about other college basketball. I'm just not into it right now. But I'll definitely get into it more once the season starts, which it does start in like 2 days.
Yeah. So you were talking about Duke's recruiting class. I saw that. I don't
Shire,
know.
Shire, baby. He was
John Shire.
Dude, Shire had been the head of recruiting when Krzyzewski was the coach for like the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years before Krzyzewski retired. Yeah. And they had the number one class. They've had the number one class, I feel like, 8 out of the last 10 years. Something crazy.
So next year's number one class.
Pretty sure it's Duke.
Rutgers.
Rutgers?
Rutgers.
We got Cooper Flagg, bro.
I have to look again, but I'm pretty sure it's Rutgers.
It's definitely Duke.
I think they got like 3 or 4 5-star recruits. I don't know how.
Maybe.
But Rutgers.
But it's Cooper Flagg, you know who that is? Look him up.
I'll look him up. He'll be in the NBA 2 years.
Potentially. With these NIL deals now, though.
Yeah.
Players that would normally be going to the NBA, it makes more sense for these kids
to
stay for another year, to play college basketball, to love the college life, and make, if not just as much money as if they were to go to the NBA or more. So it's hard to predict now who's going to get drafted, and I think it changes things a little bit.
Yeah, you're seeing those late first round, second round picks. You're going to make more in college. Why go? Right. Other than, hey, I get my chance to get in the league and I can show it. But if you're going to just be a bench warmer
or something.
Yeah, if you're going to be a bench warmer, why do it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it makes a lot more sense for, which I think was really smart by the NCAA to do that. And it makes sense anyways. I mean, if this player is drawing more money into your school because of how good they are, and they're able to generate money for themselves, I mean, why would you not allow that?
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense. But it's good also for the programs. It's good for the kids. They get to develop more. You see a lot of really talented players leave college too early, and then they don't do anything in the NBA. And it's not only the NBA. I mean, there's a lot more options after you're done with college basketball. I know we're talking a lot about the NBA, but how many NBA players go overseas, play overseas? Now there's like the big three. I mean, you see all these other avenues for kids and, you know, basketball players to go to. Puts pressure on the NBA, too, for them to stay
relevant.
You know, the number one, which I don't necessarily think there's a lot of pressure, but it's still, it adds to it. I mean, they're still, you know, going to be the number one, and I don't think there's anything that's going to change that, but it just all these other things kind of make them, you know, stay on top of their game, too, which is good.
All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode, the Horns Over Hoop podcast. Thanks for coming, Brad. It's great to have you here, and great to kind of just talk to other people that are a fan of the game and kind of see their perspective and really why they wanted to continue watching basketball and what got them into it.
Yeah, man. It was fun. was cool to hear you talk a little more in depth than I've heard you talk before about basketball. And hopefully I can be on here again. We'll see each other soon, bro.
Yeah, well, we'd like to bring you on. And we'd like to do a couple more of these interview-type episodes.
Who do you got potentially coming up?
We got actually a guy from that lives in Australia, huge NBA that we're planning on doing. Yeah.
who's the best Australian player you know?
Best Australian player I know? My guy was Dellavedova. That was my guy. Ooh, but
Stephen Adams.
Stephen Adams.
But I think he's from New Zealand. So I don't know.
Jingles?
Joe Ingles?
Yeah, Joe Ingles, man, Jingles. Nice. He tore it up. But
so you got this Australian guy coming?
Yep, we got him.
What's his name?
His name is Scott. So another Scott. Another Scott. We got him, and we got another guy that actually used to run another Bulls podcast, and he runs a Chicago sports Facebook page. We're going to have him on soon.
Nice.
But we're just going to keep trying to bring people on that fans of the game kind of see their perspective of the NBA and just basketball in general.
Cool, dude. It was fun, man.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Yes, sir.